Amen. Amen. Okay, okay, brothers, let's start. Let's start. I was looking at hymn 635 during the break, and I really think it is such a spiritual song. It's actually very, very fitting for our present burden for fruit bearing. And, you know, Watchman Nee actually lived this life. You know what is a crucified life? A crucified life is a fruit-bearing life. Amen. It's not just a spiritual life, just a victorious life. It is possible that even with the riches that we have and the life, deeper life experiences that we are led into, and all the truths that is given to us, that if we don't keep our eye on bearing fruit, we can be in a state of what? A kind of spiritual pride. Collectively, even in the Lord's recovery, we are superior, we know more, we enjoy more, we see more, but we lost something. And that is, we lost the purpose. The purpose. All these riches from the triune God as our supply is for one thing. And that is for the body of Christ. Amen. But this body of Christ needs growth and increase. Not something small, not something tiny. It must have a great expression that matches the triune God. So we must get rid of the kind of concept, oh, we just need to be small, a bunch of spiritual people. No, that's a wrong concept. I like to tell you, that's a wrong concept. To seek to be just great and big, that is in the principle of Babylon. You know, the great Babylon, Babylon the Great. That's wrong. But to think that we should be just small and we're the remnant, we're just a small number, we're hidden, this and that, could be also natural. Natural. So we need to be balanced. Just like we need the wall, we also need gates in the wall. We do need the wall. Don't tear down the wall. We need a great wall for the protection, for the expression of all the divine riches of the triune God as our portion, of course. But these thick and high walls must have gates in them. In fact, lots of gates in them. Three to each of the four directions of the holy city. Three gates each. That means plentiful gates. Of course, we know the 3 times 4 and you know, it's a mingling of God with man, all those kind of things. We know that. But it is in all multiple direction so that all kinds of people can come into the New Jerusalem, to come into this universal blending. And that is fruit-bearing. That is fruit-bearing. So I think this morning, no time, but please go back to sing this song in a different way. This is on the cross. But the title, it says this, the way of the cross, dash, the way of fruitfulness.
Amen.
So don't separate the experience, the subjective experience of the co-crucifixion with Christ. That is to die with Christ, to experience the cross, dealing with our soul life, dealing with so many things, the world, dealing with the self, and so on, all these things, as an end in itself. No. The Lord died on the cross as a procedure. Then he entered into resurrection, and in resurrection, he begot what? Millions and billions of sons.
Amen.
Right? To have that great corporate expression for the glory of the Father.
Amen.
So, our being crucified with the Lord, the same thing. It is not just for our spiritual beauty. It is not for just for our spirituality. It is for our fruitfulness, to beget, to bring forth many spiritual children, to bring many sinners, make them the sons of God, and the members of the body of Christ, so that God can have this universal great expression of himself. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're in the local churches. That's what the church life is for. A church life is not just for us to come and meet and congratulate each other how lucky we are to be here with all this riches. That is not. We need to meet. We need to, obviously, we must study the truth, brothers. You know, don't be a leading brother that is careless about the truth. We all must be continually equipping ourselves with the truth. And here I like to make a plug for that new publication called Ministry Digest. Now, that is a very, very good book in that it helps us to who don't have the time and so on. Many of us even don't know where to start with this vast library of collected works of Witness Lee. And or many of us didn't even buy that. And we have no room even in our house to put it. But this digest is a curation. It's a selection of the best, the cream of this collected works, and organized on four lines. Am I right? Line number one is, what is the recovery? Line number two is for the new beginners. Line number three is for more the advanced and mature ones. And line number four is on the high peak of the revelation. So they're curated. You can easily use this Ministry Digest as material for your group gatherings, for sometimes even on a Lord's Day, you know, line, a fellowship, depending on who the audience is. And many brothers and sisters who don't have the time to read all these volumes, right there it is. And you don't need to even read all of them. You just select a line, one a week, and each one, I believe, has four messages or chapters, and it is there. So, brothers, no matter how you do it, talk about not wasting your energy to be except on fruit bearing, brothers. How about we live a life that don't waste energy on other unnecessary things? Let's use our energy to love the Lord,
Amen.
to to pursue him by way of equipping ourselves with his truth. You will never, never regret this. Never, never regret this. Other things you will regret, you wasted time. To spend time in the Lord's word, you will never regret. You wasted time or you spend too much time. But like everything else, it must be regular. Brothers, I'm here still training elders, am I right? I think we're still doing that. And I want to tell you the secret. The secret to life, even the human life, but to the spiritual life is constancy. It's regularity. It's endurance. If you read the Bible or you read the ministry when you feel like it, or when you find time, then you don't do it. It won't work. You have to prioritize this in your life, in your Christian life, and make time and schedule time to do these things at the cost of other things, because they are of lesser priority. If you don't do this, all kinds of things will crowd your schedule in no time. Even the little things, peripheral things, will crowd your life in no time. And you find yourself with no time to do things. Actually, it's not that you don't have time. You did not schedule the time. You did not prioritize your schedule. So you must set aside time to just study the word with the ministry on a regular basis. You have time, brothers. We all have time. Okay? And you also must find time, schedule time, to pray. You know, if you don't think prayer is important, prayer will be the last thing you do. You know? I think some elders only pray, maybe, when they say grace at the table. Elders. They don't pray. They just say grace or pray a little bit before they eat. And that's an elder. What kind of elder do you think we will get? Really, brothers. I mean, let's be honest about it. Well, what kind of elder you will be? You may have a good heart. You may have some burden for the saints. That's good. But you don't pray. And you don't set time to pray. Then you cannot do your job. You cannot do your job well. So if the saints don't pray, we need to pray. I guess what I'm trying to stress here is, brothers, we need to be those who do these things before we tell the saints to do these things. We have to set an example. We have to be a practitioner. Then we have the maybe the right to encourage the saints to do the same thing. I say again, don't look for fireworks and, you know, extraordinary events and things and huge, you know, happenings in your Christian life. The most powerful thing in the Christian life is regularity. Constancy, a prioritization of the important things. I tell you, that is what builds up a steadfast and long-lasting and solid Christian life. And we need to live that life if we're here to care for the saints. So now, this morning we talk about a fruit-bearing life. This is the other life. Actually, it's not the other life. It's all the same life. But another huge, important aspect of the life that a Christian should live, and we as leading brothers, our responsible ones, have to take the lead to live. And just like reading the Bible, just like prayer, you build it up. You build it up with regularity, with constancy, with endurance, with persistence. That is the fruit-bearing life. So you look at the grapevine, there's nothing glitzy about it. There's nothing miraculous about it. Everything about a grapevine in the bearing of fruit is what? Constancy. Is the regularity. It is the, even the pruning is regular, right? The supply is regular, and all the things are regular, and then when it comes time, the fruit will be born. Brothers, we are all in the hands of the husbandman. Do you know that? Right now, we all are under the hand of the husbandman. And this husbandman knows exactly what to prune, knows exactly how to cut. He arranges the environment. He arranges all things in all of our lives. For what? So that we can bear fruit. Not only so that we can, you know, be spiritually successful. Yes, you may say so. But even that success is not an end in itself. It is so that we can minister life to bear fruit. So please take the time, go back even on your way home. You know, this is a long song, 16 verses, 16 verses. I consider this, I don't know whether this is translated into English. Yes, but I found out, I heard, that the original song was English, written by, in English, which Brother Nee took it and improved it and worked on it, or add verses to it, to make it his song. Then later on, Brother Lee got involved. Witness Lee. Brother Lee, I think, either polished it or added some verses to this song. And this is 1950. You know, the last time they saw each other in Hong Kong. And that's when this song was put together. So you can say Brother Lee had a hand in this song. And I always sing this song for spirituality. I always take this song, you know what I mean. But now I'm changed. It's the way of fruitfulness.
Amen.
Brothers, all the dealings, all the suffering, you know, which is the theme of this hymn, eventually is to cheer God and man. It is to bear fruit for the Father's glory and for the for others' benefit. So, please, during the break, I'm just enjoying this hymn here. Go back and sing it in that way. Now, we have limited time. Now, let me just say something here. You know, by the way, brothers, this kind of training or, you know, the lessons and all these things, they can only go so far. I tell you, you must do these things. If you don't do them, all that you heard will become mere knowledge, just knowledge, points. When you do these things, you know, you become the man that the Lord say who built a house on rock and not on sand. And he said, the man who built the house on the rock is the one who not only heard the word, but does it.
Amen.
Does it. So really speaking, to hear some training message, it can go so far. We went through three semesters of training on the vital group, but we didn't do it. So at the end of 3 years training by Brother Lee, three sets of training on the vital group, Brother Lee said, I have said all that I can say. If you don't do it, I have nothing more to say. From that day, he stopped speaking on the vital group. Because it's in the doing. It's in the doing. So this morning, I would like to give you, brothers, all this word. I'm so thankful that we have such a group of brothers in Northern California. I'm very thankful for you. I went to the bathroom this morning, and there's this young brother from you, right? Yeah, stand up. From your place, Jacob. What's your name?
Richard.
So we were lining up for the bathroom, and I didn't even ask him his name. He volunteered. He said, "Oh, I'm from where's your place? I'm from Mountain View." He said, "I graduated from Stanford, and now I'm working." He's a working saint now, and he's now sitting here. You're from China, am I right? Okay, sit down. How old are you?
26.
Huh? 26. 26 years old. I'm very happy he's here. Now, he may not be some elder today or whatever, but he's here. I'm so encouraged. We have 200-300 brothers like this here. This is not a small thing. Brothers, you have to realize it's not a small thing. And what the Lord has been doing, in spite of our human weaknesses, in the Northern California, is not a small thing. The Lord has done a lot. But brothers, we need to go on. We need to go on. So, I like to say that we must enter into the stage now of doing the word.
Amen.
Not just hearing the word. I think James says something like that too in his epistle, right? If we just hear and not do the word, what does it say? He has some saying there. Whatever. Look, listen. To hear the word is the hearing of faith. All right? You hear the word, and that word will give you faith. It infuses faith into you. So the word is the word of faith. No doubt about that. But if you just stop in hearing, that faith is what? It's limited. I think he talked about faith being dead.
Yeah.
Huh? What does it say? It's meaning it's inoperative. What does it say? Could you read? In English? What chapter?
James 2:17.
Could you speak that? Could you read that in English? Or somebody?
Huh?
Yeah, look, it says faith, if it does not have works, is dead in itself. Now, don't come and argue with me, this is James, he's great, you know, he's still half Jewish, you know, Judaistic. That's that side, I give it to you. There's that side, he's still somewhere, you know, something of the Old Testament. Oh. Where is that?
Chapter
1, 23 and 24 of James. Well, we need to be fair with James. He has some pretty good words, you know. You hear the word and you don't do it. You are... you forgot what you look like and so on and so forth. And you look in the mirror, then you walk away from the mirror, you forgot what you look like. That's like, it's a fleeting thing. You hear, you appreciate it, you see something, then you walk away from it, and it doesn't take any time at all. You forgot everything that you saw. So the point here is forget about the law and all that stuff. The point here is that we need to do the word, and this is consistent with the Lord's word.
Amen.
That I mentioned about building your house on a rock. You see, those who only hear and are impressed, you're building, but your house is on sandy ground. It just takes a little rain, little wind, and little flooding, which means a test from God, a test from the devil, and a test from man. That's the three direction. And you collapse. You collapse. You appreciate the word. You amen. You enjoy. But you didn't carry it out. You didn't do it. And that is on weak soil. On sandy soil. What will give you solid foundation is when you do the word. So brothers, hearing this training or messages, those 72 lessons is good. But now you need to go do it. And when you do it, your faith increases. You have a different dimension, measure of faith by doing. So don't stop in the hearing. These days, I stress doing. I stress, if I may use the word, practice. Practice what you hear. And in the practice is where you actually learn. And you actually own what you heard. You actually possess the land by taking the step and walking into it. So, brothers, that is my burden, really my burden. Okay, now, let's come back to this matter of the fruit-bearing. Brother Don here told me, hey, what you gave us is different. These five messages is different. I said, really? It turns out he's right. What I have here, the first three, they're all together five outlines on this wall, gates of the New Jerusalem. And the first three that you receive is exactly like mine on the gates. But the message four and five is different. I have one set that I read to you, and you have another set. But have no fear. Combine them and make it a set of seven. I'm not joking. I have my helper, and I tell him what to do. But I will tell you, they all are necessary.
Amen.
to thoroughly cover this burden of the gates. So what you have, even though it's different from mine, please get into it. And I will get these last two messages, and I will call them messages 6 and 7. You have five already.
Yes.
And my four and five will be your 6 and 7, and I will get it to you through Xu Ming, okay? So you have seven. Now, do we have 7 weeks before the summer training?
Yes.
Anyway, my assignment, cover all seven before the summer training. Yeah. You say, I have no time. You're lying. You have time. If you make time. If you don't make time, you don't care. Of course you have no time. I have no time to come here. But I make time to come here because it's important to me. You know, I flew to Hong Kong and I flew over here, and David always, every minute is filled. After this morning, 3 meetings, I have 2 more meetings. And tomorrow I have to go to Palo Alto with a morning meeting and then an afternoon meeting before I'm released to go to the airport. So that's how cruel he is. I still come under this cruel treatment, right? Yeah? Yeah, I'm getting cruel. And now, I don't know, I'm in Hong Kong time or L.A. time. I don't know what time this is. I lost feeling for time because of the quick time zone changes. It's pretty tough for someone at this age. But my point, brothers, is this. It's important. Amen. So I make the time. Amen. If it's not important, I go to sleep, right? Brothers, no. What's important to you? See, I like this brother, 26 years old, just learning to serve the Lord. I like to give a word to him. Don't take the easy way. Don't take the fluffy way. Don't take the nice looking way. Take the solid way. This is a word of wisdom for your human life and for your Christian life,
Amen.
Your spiritual life. Amen. Don't take the easy way.
Amen.
Okay? Take the solid way, which is constant, regular, okay? Investing your time, prioritize your life and schedule, and you just live that way. And I also like to say one more thing, brothers. Simplify your life.
Amen.
Don't live a complicated life. Oh, this and that. And brotherly always tell us, my life is very simple. That's why he got so much done. Because he self-pruned all the leaves and things, and where it drains energy for nothing. He concentrates, Brother Lee economizes and concentrates every bit of his energy for what's eternal, what's valuable, what is purposeful. And we do this, do that, spending to do bad things needs energy, you know? Eventually, your energy is sucked away. You have limited energy. You have to go to work. Then you suck away all the energy. You have no time for this real eternal spiritual things. And that becomes sort of your last priority down here. Brothers, these things are nothing, not rocket science. But brothers, we all, right, transgressed. We all are not wise. This free talk, okay? Free talk, something is more valuable. Last week was my birthday. Yeah, my birthday. So in the morning I woke up early, and, this is my birthday. I forgot about it. Okay. And so, this is my birthday. And then right away, the thought came to me, immediately, Psalm 90. Is it 90? Moses' Psalm, the Psalm of Moses. Oh, Jehovah, you have been my dwelling place for all the generations. You know that. It is in that psalm that the old man Moses spoke about life and the short brevity of life. You know, he said things such as, the life is like grass. It grows in the morning, in the evening, it withers. He talks about man's life is like a breath, like a sigh, and it's over. He talks about if you make it to 70, you know, 70, you are really doing well. You have beaten the odds. And maybe you can live till what? 80. I mean, that is unusual in those old days. Then he said, teach us, O Jehovah, how to number our days, that we may have a wise heart, that we may have wisdom. That's that song. That's the old Moses song. I mean, he lived, he really beat the odds. He lived to 120. And spent 40 years in the backside of the mountain. And he came up to serve when everyone died, you know, supposed to die, 80 years old. Now, if anyone who lived to 120 and still say life is brief, life is really brief. Brothers, life is brief. Before you know it, you're not 26, you're 46. Before you know it, it's 46. Where did life go? Where did time fly? Brothers, we have limited time today, so that morning when I woke up and say, man, you have 1 year less to live. It's not just 1 year less to live, but my time is now even more compressed. You know, if I'm 26, and today everybody lives to 100, right? So 26, you have 74 years. Boy, goodness, 74, you still have, out of $100, you still have $74. You can still spend it rather, you know, carelessly and easily. Me, I won't tell you how old I am, but I can tell you I don't have 74 years. I have less than half of the 74 years. I have maybe less than a third of 74 years if I live to 100. You see what I'm saying? So my years and your years are different. You know, I agree with Einstein. You know, time is relative. Your year is different from my years. My years are more precious than your years because I have less of them. And today, I cannot afford to waste even 1 year. And you can because you're younger. Oh, so I was in bed just thinking about that. Lord, how many more years I have? Lord, how should I spend my remaining years? I really meant that. Lord, I need more wisdom. How? Because I have less years to give. Brothers, trust me. Trust me. Don't be deluded. Don't be deluded. Okay, my word is, again, be a doer of the word. There's enough training, enough messages, enough word, enough inspiration. Now you have to do it. Now, concerning this matter of the fruit bearing, okay, I like to say this, that first you don't talk to the church, okay? Just talk to yourself, okay? And tell the Lord to give you fruit. Tell the Lord to make you from henceforth, until he comes back, a life-ministering person. Amen. That is a fruit-bearing branch. And don't just do that. You do that have a consecration to the Lord and really mean business, then you need to be very practical to consider your schedule and your life. Your life. Okay? Consider your whole life. If your whole life is for this, you better consider your whole life. Review your life. Review your schedule. If you're 26 years old, your life is this way, just look at it. Consider it. You're 46 or you're 66, consider your life. I do this. Actually, I don't do this on my birthday. I do this often. I do this often. Just constant evaluating my life, right? In order to prioritize, in order to schedule it, to have the most productivity for the Lord. Do you follow me? No wasting of time on this and that. I'm young, I could do that. I cannot do that. I must economize. So not only your time, with time comes energy. You know, all your hours, you need energy to live. You know, I like that word in Romans 15:16, an energizing priest of the gospel. So you need energy to function as a priest of the gospel, to gain sinners, to shepherd new believers, to feed the new believers, to visit the saints, to teach and perfect them, to all these things need energy. You need to be energized as a priest. And it, the opposite side is you cannot waste energy. You need to preserve energy and focus and concentrate your energy to do what is eternal, what counts in God's eyes. And this is what counts. God doesn't care how many dollars in your account you have when you die. All right? Agree? But God cares very much how much fruit you have borne when you die. And you should care for this likewise. So that right away tells you what you need to do. You need to take care of your wife, your family, your job. These are human obligations that you have to fulfill. But besides that, you must mark out, separate, and prioritize times for this most important calling that we have, and that is to serve the Lord. Amen. To build up the body. Amen. To build up your local church, right? The saints. And that takes energy. So you must pay the price and even cut off so many less necessary things and concentrate your time on this. You know, this morning I was thinking, on the third meeting, I actually like to talk to you about marriage, your marriage. I like to talk about your family. Because if you don't take care of these things, your service is wobbly. Your human life is wobbly, and your spiritual life will be wobbly. Okay? Now, whether we'll do that or not, we'll see. But, brothers, mean business, brothers. I'm talking to the most important group of people as far as the Lord's move in Northern California is concerned. They're all in this room right now. So, how much the Lord can do here depends on the brothers in this room. That's just how it is. So you must have this kind of regard, sober regard of yourself. Then, besides this consecration, you begin to what? budget, schedule, whatever your word is, your time in a very practical way unto the Lord for this fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
All right? Actually, you know what? Prayer life is fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Bible and ministry reading life is fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
As far as the goal, right? Even our meeting life is fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
Everything is to bear fruit for the vine. So now, in the coming days, we still have to touch matters like what? Like the group meet group.
Yes.
Very burdened. We are, in many instances today, our group meetings are not what it should be. It's just a form, a habit, huh? Every Friday we do what, and even a lot of our church meetings today are formal, and not living, and spirit filled and rich and attractive. But we'll cover those. But today I concentrate on the fruit bearing life. Okay. I would say that you need to schedule your life, okay, every week. Every week. I strongly suggest that every week you would schedule into your schedule a time to go and contact people. Okay, you can say, I want to bear fruit all day long. But the word is, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and set you to go forth and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. The Lord Jesus himself went forth to sow, right? To sow the seed. And then he sent his disciples forth, two by two, by the way, to the cities and villages and so on. And in the parable in before Luke 15, is Luke 14, about going out to invite people at the hedges and the byways, and you know what I mean? To find the people to come to the feast. So, brothers, a fruit-bearing life is a going-forth life.
Amen.
It's not a staying-back life. We all need to change our habit. We all need to pick up a new habit. And it's the habit to go forth and contact people. Now, we're not asking you to do this every day, but how about we force ourselves and build up a habit once a week?
Amen.
And how long once a week? How about start with 1 hour? Just 1 hour. You say, I don't have 1 hour. How about 40 minutes? I say, I don't have 40 minutes. How about 30 minutes? But I'm saying, start.
Amen.
And do the word.
Amen.
Once a week.
Amen.
What time a week? I don't know. Lord's Day afternoon? Saturday sometime? Some evening sometime? You say, an hour a week, what does that accomplish? Well, let's see. I think if all of us brothers, and I hope, a portion of the saints in every church. You don't expect every saint to do this. Don't even try, okay? But there would be ourselves and a number of saints who are more given to the Lord, right? We all have these saints. As many as possible that can follow you to do the same thing. This is not asking much. This is really not asking much. Then in this hour or whatever, what do you do? What do you do? You go and contact someone. This someone could be a gospel candidate, could be your relatives, could be your friend, could be neighbor, could be whatever that the Lord put the name and this person in your heart. You go. And how do you go? Well, sometimes you go by the phone. By the phone. Just to take the initiative to use that hour to contact someone. So that's number one. I call them sinners. How many sinners are waiting for us to come? Yes? Amen?
Amen.
You know, who's that brother who talked about Grand Canyon?
Jeff.
Did you get his story? You know, everybody wants to go to Grand Canyon, right? If you come to U.S., you don't go to Grand Canyon, you haven't seen the U.S., right? I've been in this country for 53 years. I have not seen the Grand Canyon. But his point is, people come here thousands of miles, and they show up in Grand Canyon, and it says, what?
Closed.
How would you feel? How would you feel? You just came from Russia. You came here to Grand Canyon, the gate is closed. How would you feel? You will go back to Russia telling people, I did not see the Grand Canyon. And they will say, why did you go to the U.S.? Right? Well, then tell him, the gate is closed. Brothers, today, so many sinners are waiting to see the Grand Canyon, the real Grand Canyon. They come to you, closed. This gate is closed. Wait till next year. And they go back, and some would never have a chance to come back again. That's the moral of his story there. Brothers, we need to have our gates open 365, 24/7. Am I right? Not only so, we need to bring the gates to them.
Amen.
That means we need to go to them.
Amen.
This fruit-bearing life is very practical and practicable. And it starts right here. Starts right here. Sanctify 1 hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. Go. The Lord may lead one of you to go to the next town because there's someone there that you know. Am I right? Then you go. Oh, I mean, there is not a shortage of people. Then you have what we call seekers, even Christians, who are needing, like the eunuch, needing a Philip to come and teach him what Isaiah means, right? To tell them the truth. Today, I tell you, the U.S. and the world is full of truth-seeking people. They want the truth because everything is fake news, am I right? Everything is fake news. It's not just CNN. Even Fox is fake news. Everything from the world is fake and deceptive. We have the real good news, genuine news. That's the gospel. So we need to have Bible study. We need to speak to them about the truth. And the opportunity abounds. And brothers, All you need to do is to pray a little bit before the Lord. A name will come up in you. A person will come up in you. I tell you, go visit them. Don't be so nice to, you say, I don't want to bother people. I tell you, because you didn't bother them, they end up in hell. Because you didn't bother them. They end up in hell. Okay. Number three, you have saints. What saints? Backslidden saints. Saints who are in the back row. Saints who are needy in situations. Young saints. Am I right? I would even say our young people, junior high school, are saints. They have a need. College age, working saints. I mean, brothers, people are, saints are everywhere. You say, well, they're saints already. What's the point? Brothers, they are still in the passageway. They're not fully in the holy place yet. Forget holiest of all. They're not even in the holy place yet. They need someone to show them the lampstand, someone to show them the showbread table, someone to show them what? Ah, the incense. All they need your care. They need your supply. They need your perfecting, etc., etc. Brothers, take 1 hour or 2 hours. Definite time. Better don't change that time. Maybe you change according to your schedule from every other week. I don't care. But a standard time. Then you say, there's really nobody. Really nobody. When there's, that's a fake statement, right? But you convince yourself, there's nobody. Nobody's open to me. Well, I challenge you to take that 40 minutes and sit there and pray.
Amen.
Pray for nobody.
Amen.
I believe halfway somebody will come up in your heart.
Amen.
Then you go to that somebody.
Amen.
Brothers, drive there. Walk there.
Amen.
Spend the time
Amen.
For people. How about this? That's my training today.
Amen.
I don't want to stay in just inspiration. I want action.
Amen.
I want doing of this word.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, there's actually another time I would like to suggest that you also carve out. And that time may merge with this first time that I talk about, or not. And that is to find a companion. Now, that companion could be your co-elder or co-serving brother, or not. That companion may be a young saint, a young brother that you're burdened for. So you hook up with this person, and you become a kind of companion. And you would gather as companion one time, either to go out together to visit people, to drive there and to minister to people. Or you can have a separate time during the week with this companion, deliberately, sanctify time, just to pray. And not just to pray for yourself and so on, but by just being as companion, you already strengthen one another. And that is side benefit. But you come together to particularly pray for the burden for men and for saints and for the people that I just mentioned together. And to fellowship about these ones. How to best care for them, how to go on with them, what to do next. You know, a lot of times you don't have the way, but just a little chat with a brother, light goes on. You know, it's a principle of the body. When I walk into the sanctuary, I got clear, right? So that really, really works. So to have a companion like that, or two, I call it these, the twos and threes, once a week. Once a week. These two and three, they come together and pray and fellowship and then go out. Or they have two separate times of going out another time during the week just to pray together. When? Lunchtime. You work, right? You're in the workplace. But there's a brother who's working in the next building or down the street. Why don't you come together once a week during a lunchtime to what? To start with prayer. Pray for your boss, because you have a burden, all right? I would pray for, you know, whatever, my colleagues. I tell you, do this, brothers. Do this. Will you do this? You know, I'm tired of just talking about burden. I like us to do this. Or at least start there. If you're faithful to do this, I tell you the Lord will lead you and all this activity will grow. Amen. Will be with results. Amen. Will actually energize you even to do more.
Amen.
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 You do it week in, week out. Even if there's no results, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. A lot of times, as we all know, eventually the one you work on didn't come in, but someone else came in.
Yes.
Almost miraculously. Yeah. Or sometimes this person playing just takes time. 3 years or longer for this one to come to the Lord and come into the church. So meanwhile, you may pick up another one or another one. Brothers, none of us in this kind of care and visitation can take care of too many people.
Amen.
Don't try. Because the more you... I take care of 100 people. I said, you take care of nobody.
Amen.
That level of care. You remember we talked about the struggling vines?
Yes. Yes.
It actually reduces the quantity, but increases the quality. You see the point? So I think in here with us, none of us need to take care of 100 people. But if everyone take care of one or two, that's a lot of people. Really. But in a focused way. In a poured out way. In a quality way. My, you pray for them, you labor on them, you just think about them, you cannot get rid of them. Eventually, one visit is not important, you have to do two. You see what I'm saying? You'll be led by the Lord, and you are now on the way to bear fruit.
Amen.
The day, brothers, when you see your fruit, your little baby, that saint, that seeker, that sinner, advance and grow, my, you will just, your faith will be so strengthened.
Amen.
It will not be inspirational faith anymore. It will be practical faith.
Amen.
And that experience will lead you to do even more.
Amen.
Brothers, we're not for big campaigns. We're not for big, kind of this stirring up. Although, I will talk about it. I like to see the churches have regular gospel meetings.
Amen.
Because that helps to fan the fire.
Amen.
Right? And also to reap in and to harvest a lot of these ones that we care for.
Amen.
That's another story. I don't start there. Today I start here.
Amen.
I start here. How about in the clusters, in the churches, let's also begin to have these gospel-oriented gatherings.
Amen.
Twice a year. Actually, you can do more than that.
Amen.
Three times a year.
Yes.
Quarterly. So that the gospel spirit among us is constantly aflame.
Amen.
It's not once in a blue moon we preach the gospel.
Amen.
No, this is fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
It should be regular, constant, you see?
Amen.
I tell you, if this church doesn't increase, I tell you, you can tell the Lord, Lord, I did my part, it's your problem.
Amen.
You can blame the Lord at the judgment seat, okay?
Amen.
But let's do our part.
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
Will you do this?
Amen.
I think some of you will, but I'm afraid some of you won't. You're nodding your head. And then you leave the door and it's over. Inspiration over. That's the problem.
Amen.
That's exactly our problem.
Amen.
Do it, brothers.
Amen.
Please do it.
Amen.
Start small.
Amen.
Don't despise the day of small things.
Amen.
Start small.
Amen.
And then, in your doing, you will have companions. And then, I tell you, it will spread. Then you can bring in other saints to do it. I think many saints are doing it already.
Yes.
Actually, it's wrong to say nobody is doing it. Actually, many saints are putting us to shame. They are more regular than us. Okay? That's my word for this meeting. Let me stress this thing. This is in my message number 5, which is your message number 7, and that is care for these ones, sinners, seekers, saints, with persistence, with patience, and in faith. James 5:7. You know, this morning we love James. He sometimes gets a bad rap. It's not fair. You know, that talks about the matter of long-suffering. Exercising long-suffering until the farmer, huh? The farmer. Talking about the farmer. We're talking about farming here, or vine dressing. Behold, the farmer eagerly awaits the precious fruit of the earth, exercising long-suffering over it until it receives the early and late rain. So, brothers, in the fruit-bearing, we just need to exercise a lot of long-suffering and patience, not expecting quick results, quick reaping. That is not trustworthy, but just care for the crop until the harvest comes.
Amen.
You, if you go out to visit people for a short period and expect a great result, you are not thinking soberly. All right? Just go. Just keep doing it. If I won't gain one this year, I will gain one next year, and so on and so forth. This kind of persisting visit and to minister Christ, to minister life to people, will bear fruit. If 20%, one-third of the saints in your church would do this, live this kind of life, I tell you, 5, 10, 15% is a normal thing, not such a spectacular thing. Okay?
Amen.
Should I talk about marriage? I'll take a break. Maybe a 10-minute break. It's okay? What were you going to say?
Yesterday, Boris Fuming from Göttingen, he suggests this training. Many times you say, you were called us to check us.
Yeah.
But you never did that.
Yeah.
Can next month we come back to me? Can you say? Yesterday.
You are making him the bad guy. Okay. Brother Lee did that with us in my younger years under his training. That's how he trained us. He says, stand up, give me names. Not only he said, give me names. If I mention a name of a person in the congregation, he says, stand up. Is he telling the truth? No, I kid you not. Is he telling the truth? And there was one time that brother say, I'm not so sure. That means he is deluded. He thinks he's doing it, but this person actually don't have that feeling. So he checked. And Brother Lee does that because he's so practical. Brother Lee gave the highest peak, right? I mean, it couldn't be higher than that. You don't know, Brother Lee is the most practical person. So it's time for implementation, brothers. Amen.